Town of Monroe Zoning Board, Wednesday, June 27th, 2018.
This meeting is only working for, and I ask if you can review the minutes. And I understand, Mr. England, did you receive the minutes?
Yeah, your email's been bouncing for the last couple of months. I need a new email address for you.
Do you have
my
right address?
Yeah, it stopped working all of a sudden a couple months ago, so I need a new one.
All right, I'll write
that down.
So,
You have the directions?
What's that?
You have the directions for the minutes?
For the minutes?
Yeah.
Well, I've got it.
Because there was one about the bathroom, too. And it was right in the motion.
Thought it was all this stuff in here. I thought. Because there is some frontage in the north way.
Okay, we have one correction.
I don't know that specifically, but.
Sorry?
Page 2661, in the second paragraph, I guess. Motion was made by Elms for 11 foot 6 foot. It shouldn't say by Elms seconded.
Should say what?
It should say four.
Four?
It says second. 11 foot 6 inches.
And page 2663. Two-thirds of the way down, it says the chairman Edward explained it's all used to protect from unreasonable uses. It doesn't sound like something I say. But I guess we let it stand. It will just I imagine I probably said it to the board, the zoning board of appeals that property on unreasonable application zoning law. Because that's usually what I said.
I'll check the recording and see if I can find that.
I probably mumbled. I've been told that. On that same page, this one is in our discussion comprehensive plan. The second paragraph up from the bottom says, Chairman Endo asked about setbacks for recreation uses. I know that it shouldn't say about setbacks for that caused out. I asked about recreational uses such as the setback up on the road. So if you just put as such as the quote unquote setback. I don't know what it's called, but whatever it calls it. So. On the very last page, are there any other issues or questions? Do we have a motion to approve?
I made a motion to approve with the changes that we discussed.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The minutes are approved. As of right now, we tabled the motion last week to last month for Mr. Shaw's application. I understand that he's bringing some new applications to us, and we just need a motion, I think, to table for the next meeting to request.
Yeah, the attorney for the applicant requested a tabling until next month. That correspondence came in about a week ago.
So, can we have a motion to...
What is the...
Well, there's
number one.
AO2.
I'll make a motion that we hold, was it carryover?
Table.
Appeal number AO2. The next month.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we move on. This is another motion, another appeal that we tabled from last month. It's appeal number 803, which is a request of Carl Donaldson of 1109 Route 9, Danford, New York, 12831, for a special use permit pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, Section 149-21. Applicant is proposing to operate a small engine repair shop in his garage. The property is located in an R3 1 and 2 family agricultural zoning district and is designated as 89.2-68.1 on the So, we have Mr. Donaldson?
Yes. I probably also would like to apologize to the board for my mix up in date and time this month and thank you for giving me a second option to hear my story.
So, what are you doing now?
I do small engine repair. Okay. I do it for full time and I do a little bit at home. But the point is, the reason why I want to do this is I'm trying to better myself and make it a little better living for my family. Just recently, my wife lost her job. The doctor got severely ill, so that's a little more pressure on us to, you know, pay for our bills. So it helps, you know, not to get rich off of it. But and I do a lot of good things for the community. A lot of times, if it's just a quick, easy fix, sometimes I won't even charge it. And I have signatures. What's my business plan? Signature from the neighbors. They're all for it. And this is my business plan. And this is where the oil would be.
Have you gotten those signatures from the neighbors?
He came in, he and his significant other have been in a couple times to see me. They showed me those letters. I told them to bring them to the board and show them tonight. They're not a part of the record yet, but they had been going around gathering signatures from neighbors and I think patrons of the business offering support.
And that is Chris Week, who I dump all the oil stuff.
And I did have a discussion with him of some of the concerns that have been expressed about the appearance of the, you know, stacked mowers that appear to be there for parts, and also the risk of gas and oil, you know, entering the ground. First of all, the stacking of the parts mowers behind the garage, that was done, if you recall, this was here's an enforcement action. It was started as a complaint over sales of lawn equipment at the roadside. That has since ceased, and there is just the repair service now. And in the interim, until a decision was reached, I asked that the stuff be stacked, you know, behind the garage, out of sight. Because the long-term intent, I believe, is to install a fence and put the mowers for parts behind that fence, out of sight. The other thing I want to make sure that's understood, this is here at, as a home occupation in the R3 zone. I will read the definition of home occupation. An accessory use of a service character. So I think right there we have captured this use, but I'll read on.
customarily conducted within a dwelling by the residents thereof, that's true, which is clearly secondary to the use of the dwelling for living purposes and does not change the character thereof or have any exterior evidence of such secondary use other than a sign. I don't think there's any interest in having a sign, correct?
We want the sign
okay.
That goes with the town ordinance.
We're just going to pop one off now.
Okay. They will request a sign that's, okay, in keeping with the ordinance. Exterior evidence of such secondary use other than a sign or a nameplate attached to the building, which sign or nameplate shall not exceed 3 square feet. I did tell them that that was a sign limit. A home occupation, and then it's subset A and B to that definition. A, a home occupation includes but is not limited to artist studio, dressmaking, professional offices as a physician, dentist, lawyer, engineer, architect, or accountant within a dwelling occupied by the same, teaching with musical instruction limited to a single pupil or one-time barbershops and beauty parlors. Real estate offices and similar businesses, a home occupation shall be allowed one employee. Subset B, in addition, home occupation shall be interpreted to include the sale of stock and trade of commodities directly related to the permitted home occupation by the resident thereof for sale to the general public. So on the basis of the first part of that definition, that was the determination made as to the use being subject to special permit. So that was the rationale. And oh, the other thing I should point out, I gave you a copy of it. There was an additional letter. You have the, you saw the letters that were submitted last time. There was one from the direct neighbor, as well as some photographs. We have them in the file. And then another neighbor, June McClellan, and I can't make out the writing, Annette M. Vandenberg, maybe. That was submitted during the last time this was heard before the board. But since that time, and I gave every member a copy of it, we have a new letter from Mr. Grenier again, expressing his concerns and opposition to the application. And you all have that.
Can I just note something? Annette and Julia, June, they signed mine, set up saying for me. I have their signature.
I see that. Yeah. What, I don't see
they,
that.
And if you, they said if you, you can contact them, and they will
explain. They have opposition.
Annette and June McClellan. Yeah. It was. This is dated 5/23, and I think handed over at the last meeting, and it's still in the file. I'll read it. June McClellan and Annette Vandenberg of 1097 would be opposed to the 1109 Saratoga Road for opening a business at that location.
There's a sign when they're dated past that, but they said it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, then.
The lady said you can.
Well, that's not tab there, I believe it. You know, I mean, it's not like they're notarized.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like that.
It's not like they're not notarized. I mean, it's the one who's very fast.
What I find interesting with that stack of letters is that I think how many are customers that don't live in that neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. None of these are really most of my customers.
Okay, but I mean, they're not neighbors.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah,
dying.
They are.
Was,
they're all right around.
They have the Paradise Parish. I think they have a list. I was looking at it. Okay.
And there is one that we did neighbor Kyle list. He signed that as well. He's to our south side.
Yeah, these are all right in the same area.
I guess I saw one on West Road.
Well, there are some others, yes. There were some that were ways away, but there was
most of
but I was quite a few. I was surprised at how many were at Route 9. And I was trying to watch that. Some of them were rich residents, some of them are saying, well, but that's kind of confusing too because the local mailing address is Wilton, but it's still rural, so it's
like right close to the line.
Now, there is one additional thing I want to bring to your attention. It's in the letter from Mr. Grenier that was submitted since the last meeting date. It's the one that I handed out to you tonight. It is the fourth paragraph down. And I'm reading verbatim, the south driveway of their property is not a legal driveway. It was supposed to be blocked off and we subdivided our property into three parcels. We own two of the parcels and the driveway at this residence borders our vacant lot driveway. Per the town agreement at the time of the subdivision, the south side of the driveway is to be closed. The town has failed to enforce this since Mr. Donaldson purchased the property. Now the thing I want to correct about this, did a little research on that, and that's in fact was subdivided. And I'll show you a copy of the plat. It was a 2011 subdivision with three lots accommodating a proposed house, an existing house, and a proposed vacant lot. And I'll show you all a copy of this. And it's signed by the planning board chair. Lot 2, I believe, eventually became the home of Mr. Grenier. Lot 1 was sold. That's the Donaldson home. Mr. Donaldson was not the first buyer of the house when it was sold. He is a second generation owner since that time. And then the third lot is vacant, and it's somewhat of a flag-shaped lot with some frontage on Route 9. Now the driveway, the plat notations are, existing driveway to be relocated south 14 feet, in other words, to service lot 3. And then there's an additional notation, existing driveway to be removed. It's all on the record in the plat. However, this is the responsibility of the applicant. Mr. Donaldson is a second-generation owner. Right. Just making sure that's understood and in the record.
We were never aware of this issue.
The applicant did, by asking him, you mean Mr. Grenier?
No, that's the applicant.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure not the applicant.
The applicant was the second. Correct. He was entitled to see that that was correct.
Right.
And so at this point,
We would have never bought the house if it was only in one driveway.
Can I speak to that one issue, sir?
Tell me on
Claudia Raymer, I'm the attorney representing Mr. Baker. On the driveway issue, he did close it off as part of his subdivision approval. What has happened since he sold it is not under his control.
But I want to point out, closure is not the only thing that's listed as a notation on that plat. It's removal. The macadam and asphalt remains that was originally there.
Right. So it wasn't removed. So it never met what was requested.
Well, they said put dirt to that.
There, I do not believe there is a paved driveway there.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
But that may be because you drove over it.
I don't think you can create paved pavement by driving.
We have never been. No, if he filled it over with dirt and then they've been driving over it.
But that wouldn't be. But if you fill it over with dirt, it says removed. That's
not removed.
That's not removed.
When we sold it to our.
Let's
take our time. Let's, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
you.
Who else was talking? Is that
me?
When I sold it to Abe and Megan, the people that bought our house, that was what we did. They said put dirt there, and that's what we did. 2 weeks after Abe and Megan bought it, the dirt went out, they moved their stuff in, and nothing was ever done about it. That's how that all... They said, just put dirt there. And that's what we did. And 2 weeks after Abe and Megan moved in...
Well, that's, I think, removal would, you know, take care of that.
They couldn't remove the dirt and open up the driveway. It wouldn't have been.
Right, but it didn't say that specifically. They said, well, that's what they said to me, put dirt there, and that's what we did.
But you must have received this.
Well, does it say removal, or does it say existing driveway isn't supposed to be there?
I didn't read it. You said it's removal.
What's the notation say?
Existing driveway to be removed.
Yeah, thank you.
Shaded area, right. Well, I didn't realize physically removed.
Well, that's what it says.
Well, my interpretation of that is it's you have to do it. Well, you know, if you get bad advice, that's
true. Well, actually, the advice came from the building inspector. That's what he told me to do, is fill it in. And that's what we did. And And he said, just put dirt there.
Yeah, but you can't do it.
Right, and I understand it, but I'm just telling you what he told me. And I don't know what difference that matters because that's what they agreed to. Just because, now if I'm held accountable, what difference does that matter? You want me to go remove it? I'm not sure. What do you want from me? To be honest, I don't see us holding you
accountable.
I just don't think the whole issue of that driveway is relevant to this whole discussion.
Right.
And I never pursued it. I wasn't trying, and I'm not a bad neighbor. So at this point, I think that whole driveway issue should just be forgotten. It's not, we're not in a position to do it. At least in terms of this appeal.
Okay, in terms of this appeal.
Well, I'm going to look for removal of that now as zoning administrator now in current time to bring that plat into compliance. But I just want to point out that was done under a subdivision application by the applicant. That's a condition placed upon the applicant. Without question.
But I don't see it where it's relevant to what we're considering.
Right. Well, it was raised in the letter, and I was wanting to make sure we close that.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. If I could, because a lot of people are talking last night, I know you have tricky getting all this down. I think the purpose of Mr. Martin bringing it to the board's attention is because it was raised in a letter from Mr. Grenier that is in the record, and it was to explain and clarify that what was written in the letter may not be all of the facts, and whether it has anything to do with your determination tonight or in the future. I think the purpose, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but the purpose was to bring to your attention that paragraph may not be what actually occurred based on the map that's in there. But as to your determination, this isn't before you today. This is nothing for you to do. It's just additional information.
But it might be an issue if traffic comes into.
Correct. That's why I brought it up.
Well, it's going to be an issue at some point, and it could be out of the bounds of just the application. DOT is never going to grant a driveway to that vacant lot with that proximity. It's not going to happen. And that's why that southerly entrance was.
And can I just make one point to
the DOT? I did speak to the DOT today. My name is Stacey Holcomb, and I own the property with Carl. And I spoke with Mr. Chad Corbett today, and he said that the DOT will not force our driveway to be closed due to the fact that this is 7 years later after Mr. Grenier got that approval, and it was never done to their satisfaction. He said that the only way that we will be forced by the DOT to close that driveway is if we request a permit to do additional work on that driveway. Because they no longer allow new U-shaped driveways.
So it's grandfathered.
And just having one driveway is a safety concern backing out of Route 9. So it's nice having that horseshoe driveway. And that was one of the selling points of the house. We've always wanted a horseshoe type driveway.
So I just wanted to put that in record.
And we love the house. So we adore the house.
So, how many neighbors are we talking about complaining?
All of that direction neighbors. I don't personally have any problem seeing from that map or my map.
Do you think you have that?
Yeah, it should be on my bench. Here. And this is Carl's existing house and lot, and this is my. Okay. And this right here is my home and driveway. And then over here beside Carl's driveway is where we're talking about. Right. We have a driveway that goes, in which my sister-in-law is going to build on within the next year, that comes up in here. And this is the principal's. And this is where we would have to have access with. That's why we put that driveway in there, so maybe one of our family members or our children can build it. And so that was the purpose of that driveway. No, I didn't know.
So there is a driveway there now?
There's
no,
there's not nothing there. There's nothing cut in there. Yeah, no.
So you haven't been to DOT to get it approved?
Oh, I have to be approved that I didn't put it there.
It's already been approved. Is that good?
Well, no, you know, he needs a driveway permit from DOT.
That may not be granted to us if we can't, if it's beside that driveway, so that's an issue. But not tonight. I'm not looking to resolve that tonight. But it, I mean, at some point, if this does become shut off, that's only one entrance into this small business that they're talking about.
Well,
do you have something to say?
Are you opening the public hearing?
Yes.
Well, is the applicant, have you presented anything more that you want?
We did show some pictures.
We showed pictures.
Five pictures that do show from Mr. Brinia's property line looking at the lawnmowers as to the advice of the building.
Jim told me to stack them up. It's possible in one spot. I tried to pick next to trees and didn't see as much. So I mean, tried the best I can.
And then we do have the letter from Chris Sweet stating that we do recycle our oil too now.
I would like you to maybe go into detail as to what happens when a mower comes in and there's potentially gas or oil in the tank or in the motor. What do you do?
Okay. When any machines come in that have an oil or fuel leak, and fuel will be drained immediately in approved containers. I immediately take it in my garage, I lay it on cardboard, I can show you several pieces of cardboard that have the drips and everything on it. And all used oil is recycled, that's squeezed out of mold. The fuel, if I get bad fuel, what I do is I dump it in my truck and burn it. Because the vehicle's going to burn it, it burns hotter. It's not going to have as many issues as it will a smaller engine.
And all of that is done in the garage?
Yes. Underneath me, I have cardboard, and none of that gets spilled. And whenever I drain oil or gas in my garage, I always use a piece of cardboard to make sure no oil or fuel does not go on the floor or ground. I advise my neighbors of how I drain my oil and fuel that would not be spilled on the ground. Me personally, I don't want gas or oil on my ground just like anybody else. And I'm very methodical about anything getting spilled, anything. I'm just that type of guy. I try to keep my lawn nice, cropped, and trimmed as best I can. I have two properties to maintain, so sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. And I use oil sorbent rags to wipe down excess off the chassis, motors, but sometimes crank seals. The oil will spin and it goes everywhere on the machine, so I'll use an oil sorbent rag all the way over and wipe off all the sludge. And that gets dumped in an approved container where dirty rags go at work. So that's where I bring that. And I assure my neighbors that I'll be operating a functional business, breaking no laws or regulations that meets the town road needs. I've been taking care of people's machines in the neighborhood, and like I said, most of the time it's just they got too much oil, it's smoking or something, drain oil, fill it to fill a line, a lot of times that will solve the smoking issue. And I do a lot of good things for people in the community. Sometimes there's a few people, they don't have the money. Single mothers, single fathers. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes I usually just want, pay for parts was, and then I'll accept, small increment payments each week. And so pretty much, I'm just an average guy, just looking to make a good living for his family. And like I said, the hours are
9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We put the business plan, allowing for 2 extra hours in the morning because the quiet hours are 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. So we have 2 extra hours in the morning and 2 extra hours in the evening. So the engines will not be run after 9 p.m. because we do get some concerns from the neighbors, but we have seen that they have concerns about the noise.
In the noise area, if you were at my house, if there's cars going by, you can't even hear yourself. So I just don't understand how a lawnmower would cause somebody that much more noise seeing how we live next to Route 9, we know it, it's going to be loud. We just, that's the fact that we are close to Route 9, but we knew that.
So you have a written business plan?
We submitted that.
Yeah, submitted it.
And are you, is this a full-time
operation? No, I work full-time now. I can't risk doing something full-time if I don't have enough hours to accommodate my buildings. So I'm not that big of a risk taker. I would rather move up slowly, and that's one of the reasons why I paid this wall and buy a commercial building and spend $2,000 on rent. You know what I mean? If I could, hey, that'd be great. You know, then we wouldn't be in a situation.
And your business is lawn, mm-hmm. small and
smaller.
Well, smaller from there, but it's mostly lawn. Smaller. Yep. I don't get a lot of motorcycles because anything with license plates, I don't want to get involved with. So that's a whole other. That's a whole other insurance.
It's stuff like chainsaws. And
yeah, chainsaws, all that stuff. Yeah.
Occasionally.
Yeah. But I'm definitely not starting a chainsaw at 9 o'clock, not me.
And all your work is done in the garage?
Yes.
Or behind the fence?
Yes,
once you get a fence up, then the work will be done either behind the fence or in the garage. Okay. Right now, there are a few little tune-ups or something maybe that you'll see is, you know, cracking on little bunches or something out there with one of the cars. But once the fence gets up, then that will all be behind the fence.
I definitely
I'm sorry, say that again. So what will be behind the fence?
All the lawnmowers will be behind the fence. And then once we get the fence, all the work will be inside the, inside
so
the garage.
The lawnmowers are waiting for repair or have been repaired.
Are
they'll be outside.
They will be outside.
They'll be shielded
yes.
from the neighbors.
Yes.
From
yes.
The
and there's a third component to that, Gary. I want to make sure the board, it's my impression that there's a third group of mowers, and that's those ones for parts. And I think that's what's causing the unsightly appearance. Right? Is that correct?
Yeah, the ones all that.
Okay. I just want to make sure you understand that. It's not just those that are due to be repaired or have been repaired. It's those that he owns that are like for parts.
Yeah. And they're going to be in the fence area.
They will be
yes, they will be all in the fence area.
I think that's the majority of the ones you see stacked in those
yes,
pictures.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. Because, yeah, that's...
I'm trying my best, you know.
And
I'm just trying to make it work.
Prior to this issue coming up, there may have been a few little like parts taken off in the backyard. That no longer happens. That will be in the garage and behind. You know.
And do you have anybody working for you?
No.
Just
him.
Anybody interested to do that?
No.
Not really, no.
Because the home occupation can have one employee.
Okay.
That's correct.
As I understand it, that's, you know, understood. So you're working full time, but you're talking about hours there. What are your hours right
now? Well, we have 9 to 9 built in, but he does work full time, so it technically will not be after, he doesn't come until 5:30 until 9 at night, so 5 hours. So.
How long have you been doing this out of your garage?
I've been working on it for 15 years.
No, in the garage.
Oh,
and in your current, how long have you been here?
Oh, for about
3 years almost. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years.
I have a question for the administrator. And the definition of a home for this. That's the second garage in the house. He's not working in his residence. Working in a separate building. And according to the regulation that you read, had to be performed inside the head residence.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct in that?
I see what you're saying. I don't cut it that fine, to be honest with you. In making this determination, I consider the dwelling to be the principal dwelling and the accessory building that goes with it. And it is detached. I don't see that as...
Okay, again, this is that gray area.
Right.
About as far as definition.
Right, right. I mean, that's like, I mean, if you take that to the nth degree, I mean, that's like saying, well, the garage is separate from the house, so it shouldn't be there because it's not attached, even though it's an accessory use to the house that is attached. This, to me, is the same type of relationship.
Okay.
That's why, and you may not agree, I'm just explaining you my rationale.
I built the house, I got to get a building permit. I had a garage 2 years later, I got to get a building permit. It becomes a separate building.
And that's correct, but it's allowed because that garage, even though it's detached, is accessory to the principal allowed use, which is the dwelling. Okay. Same relationship exists here.
And Jan, if you use it, if you put your garage out of the connection of the house, you still have to get a building permit.
Yeah, that's correct. Whether it's attached or detached.
We've allowed home occupations and garages. I just want to
No, I understand your point, and it should be something that's clarified in the definition.
If you work full time, do you consider most of your work to be done weekends in your garage?
Well, weekends when I'm off, like Sunday and Monday, I'll tinker a little bit. But a lot of times I'm usually off fixing the well issue we got at the other place, so that's where most of my time is spent. Jack of all trades, you don't learn everything.
Well, I'm sorry.
Hey, talking about something, it looks like you put that in there.
Yes. Well,
usually I work Tuesday through Saturday in a regular job, and Sundays and Mondays.
What is the matter of fact is, to me that's the late. What's our noise ordinance and stuff? I'm trying to think what the.
Now, what I want to point out here is this is a special use permit.
Right.
As such, it is instantly lending itself to the idea of conditions for this use to operate within acceptable standards. Those are all things that are within your authority to set. If he's offering 9 to 9, if you think it needs to be something less, that's certainly within your authority to do that. The other thing I would point out is the amount of storage that's occurring here. If there are too many of these mowers for parts that are seen, you can limit that. Those are good things to set because it's quantifiable.
Right.
You know, we can enforce there and say, if you say, 25, 50 mowers, if there's 75 there, well, then that's too many. That's enforceable. That's a good parameter to set. So there's a lot of latitude here as to how you want to go. Should you, take that route?
It's hard to sell on Facebook and Craigslist. Have anybody ever tried selling anything on Facebook or Craigslist? You get a lot of tire kickers, and you get a lot of people that call, say, yeah, I'm going to be there, and don't bother holding your breath, waiting for them because they ain't coming.
So you were selling mowers?
Yes. But I can't sell them out front, so it's almost pointless selling.
That's a dangerous situation with that 55 mile an hour zone there in the sale of goods right out there at the street. And I think I haven't heard of any sale since I told them to stop.
They had them at for sale just this past week, even though they're behind the fence now, they're not in front of the fence, they're still for sale behind the fence.
We had a garage sale.
Yeah, and you had your lawnmowers and your garage sale.
It's a garage sale.
Okay. All right.
But for the record, 8:30, my daughter goes to bed, so pretty much that's going to be my cutoff time for the record. We just said that.
So, you've got these hours, but these hours aren't really...
They're not going to be fully working
out. They're not going to be working all these hours. Would you have a problem with saying 7:30? I'm less concerned about that.
I think I do understand as
nothing running after 7:30.
I understand people having concerns about noise in the neighborhood.
Someone mowing next to your house for 8 hours a day.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm trying to think in my mind how, like you said, we can put our stipulations in there. And I think that if I'm not saying yet, but if I was to be inclined to want to consider this, I have concerns about noise. Because that can be very aggravating for me. I understand what you said about the road noise. I live on 197, so unbelievable. But if I have a neighbor next to me with something running constantly, it's different than just the road noise. It's more irritating. So I think one of the things I'd want some kind of stipulation there about noise. I think I'm more concerned about that than the hours 99. I guess 99 is really not an unreasonable hours. But I think if we were going to put a stipulation
on noise,
I would be concerned about the noise and how we could do that. I know that's you'd have to check with Karen, but that's a very difficult thing to do. But I just put it out there because I know that can be annoying to the neighbors, and we don't want. I am a proponent of what I always call cottage industry in our town. I think as our economy's changed and really good jobs have gone away, a lot of people haven't had a second income. And I think working out of your home should be something that you can do. I just think it has to be limited in its scope and it has to have regulations on it. I'm not sure how we do this.
So are you saying like 7:30 maybe no mores? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. I guess I'm brainstorming as I speak. You know, I'm just trying to think about it.
I'd be interested in neighbor stuff. Yes. Paul.
The neighbor, his attorney. He's the one that has to live next to this, so I think he has
Everything that Carl said is semi-true, but this goes on until 10, 11, 12.
Well, that's an enforcement issue. Now we're
in right, understood. Right, understood. There, the mowers out back, the 50, 60 mowers that he has, what's going to prevent him in the future? They're stacked along our driveway that goes to our other land. What's going to stop him from eventually being to our land over near our home? You know, the surplus just keeps never ending.
But that's what we're saying. We can put if we should decide to give him this grant, we can put stipulations on. We can say we can't have any more than 30 lawnmowers.
Right. 30 lawnmowers? That's not. Who wants 30 lawnmowers in their yard?
Well,
why would you want that? And the other thing is now there's four wheelers being involved. I don't know if he's the owner or if he's not working on them.
I just want to state for the record, you know, I think that this is a public hearing is open because and that's fine because we've heard from you and we've heard enough though. But people can have four wheelers and they can have three or four. We have neighbors.
Understood.
Yep. Yes. Now, and everything else that's going on there, and what do you have? Constant racket. That's what you have.
If we decide that we want to grant a special permit, we can condition the special permit. The problem is, you know, if you say, well, no, you can never have it, then you're precluding him from using his property.
That's why it's residential, is because he's not supposed to do that.
And that's why we have the zoning law.
Right.
I'd like to talk special permit that we can condition, and then it becomes an enforcement issue. And yes, sometimes when your neighbors are annoying you for whatever reason, if you have a legitimate complaint, you have to make a complaint, and there has to be some enforcement. But that's true of just about any neighborhood and any neighbor.
Chairman, can I make a couple points?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Claudia Brainerd again. I'm glad that you had the discussion about the home occupation definition, because the way I read it, this does not meet a home definition, the home occupation definition, because it's not inside his residence. I understand Mr. Martin's point, so I won't belabor that. I mean, this is the garage. It's a separate building. But the other thing is, that definition says it also has to have no exterior evidence of the business. He is going to have an entire area fenced off, designated for part of the business. And I think that I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
Mr.
The female applicant said was that they are going to be doing some of the business activities in that fenced off area. It's not just for storage. So I'm not sure how you can possibly say that you can give a special use permit for home occupation for an exterior business with more than just a sign as the evidence of its existence. These are supposed to be for lawyers, realtors, that kind of thing, parlor, beauty parlor people working inside their home. This is not that. This is going to be completely or a lot outside. The other point that I want to make is that the garage, as far as we know, doesn't have proper electricity or a floor. So it doesn't seem like it is going to be used for the business. They're doing a lot of it outside. That's my one point about that definition. The other thing I want to point out is that your definition of junkyard says collecting, dismantling, and storage of machinery or vehicles not in running condition. That sounds to me like this thing needs a definition of a junkyard, which is not allowed in, I don't see any of your zones. The other thing I want to point out is that, okay, you do consider this under the home occupation, you go for the special use, you start looking at those criteria, it doesn't meet the criteria for granting a special use permit. You've got the noise, which we've said has gone on till 1 a.m. The other neighbor has also corroborated that. And he works full time, so when is he working on this? From 5 p.m. till 8:30 p.m.? That's not what's happening now. It is very loud because they're running at high RPMs in order to test them and see if they're working. The other thing is they're very unsightly. I know that Mr. Green, you already produced photos for you, but these are all over the yard.
Can I just ask for some?
Don't make them.
Okay. Yes,
what? I was just asking, what would be louder, lawnmowers or traffic or this race car?
My race car runs 2 minutes a week.
I want to point out two more things on your special use criteria. You also have to look at the traffic hazards. This is going to be a traffic hazard with people coming in and out to either drop off, pick up. I mean, even if they're not buying, they're coming to bring their stuff to get it repaired, then they come and get it and take it away. That's a lot of added traffic for all of these lawnmowers, motorcycles, chainsaws, whatever it is. This is a business in an R3 zone. You should be making a dead use variance. And the last thing is, I talked about the dirt floor, but under your special use criteria, you have to look at environmental concerns. Is he contaminating the well water in that area? He's talking about putting down cardboard, but does he have any secondary containment? Does DEC approve of what he's doing there? And he's washing the equipment outside in the yard. That stuff is getting washed into the ground. So we're asking you to deny this special use permit application. Thank you.
I have some questions for the applicant. How many lawnmowers do you usually have that you work on?
That I work on, customers?
At your property.
Okay, usually just a few.
Would you have a problem limiting that?
Customers?
With not customers, but how many you could have at once on the property?
Yeah, I could always strip them down and set the parts in totes, and that'll make more room.
I'm trying to distinguish this from a full-time business standpoint.
Okay.
If it's part-time and you just take people's lawnmowers in, I mean, you don't want 10, 15 lawnmowers.
No.
No.
So I try to get them in and out. Because I don't want them any more around, because I don't want Jim knocking my door, hey, you need to do something with it. So, just try to be in and out.
And is your floor in your garage, is that a concrete floor?
Yes, it's concrete floor. It's broken. It's concrete floor.
Is DEC an issue with this?
We can make an inquiry if you want to go down that route. Because the other thing, Carla pointed out, and it's a good point, there really should be an environmental assessment done on this. It's not like your standard area variance, and so we're going to have them fill that out and get that in to part one.
And what that means is kind of response to because, and I'm surprised Claudia didn't jump on this yet, there needs to be a short form EAF because special use permits are an action under SECR. Doesn't mean that you can't determine that, but because of that, you don't have a complete application in front of you, so you can't make a determination tonight.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say something? As accused of law, when I'm frustrated, I'm washing the grass clippings off them. Like I said before, I wipe all of the oil slick off everything, so no oil gets on my ground.
Well,
I'm very methodical
about that. Well, we're still public. A question for you. Would it be feasible for you to run your business without having help? Where you, I think our chairman was alluding to this in some degree. But, I mean, in all honesty, I don't think that, you know, that many lawnmowers in the backyard is, in my eyes, really acceptable. So, are you able to do a repair shop down there without evidence? Because, you know, I'm just asking this as I'm trying to think whether I want to consider, as speaking for myself, as I try to consider whether I, you know, be willing to.
Do you want to put like a number on it?
Well, I think there's a difference between repairing them and having them in mass quantity.
Well,
and I understand about the parts. I understand about that because I work on things too. But I mean, if you're working on people's lawnmowers, you didn't have all those. You might have five lawnmowers, or maybe three lawnmowers, and your somebody drops a lawnmower off, they run, they pick it up, another one drops a lawnmower off. That is much more neighborly than that.
Well, I can tell you the reason why that started because I wasn't able to stop selling them out front. So then they accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
And usually a lot of times if somebody comes and they only got $100 or whatever, you know, I'll sell them a self-propelled mower. And sometimes you might have a couple to trade in on. You could take my two old ones or whatever. So sometimes, it builds up quick. And I don't expect that. I didn't want it to gather.
Well, let me ask you, if you were to get a special use permit that had stipulations that you couldn't have those lawnmowers there, would you still be able to make a living repairing lawnmowers with a very limited amount of lawnmowers?
Just a limited amount of space, like 20 or something like that?
I'm not saying a number, but it would be a lot less than that. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm willing to work with anything, so I'm a pretty easygoing guy.
I think this is a valid concern.
Right.
It's not a junkyard. No, it's not a junkyard. But the definition of a junkyard is vehicles. These are not vehicles. It doesn't say machine. Read what it says. It says vehicles.
Machinery, not in
it's not salvage for sale. It is salvage that he's using to repair to in his business.
But anyway, what I'm looking at is that I've known people to repair in the garage, do small engine repairs and stuff, and it's a very limited amount. And I mean, I think that it needs to fit into the neighborhood. And I'm not sure that fits in the neighborhood. It's not junkyard. But I'm not sure that fits in the neighborhood. I mean, I do understand about the parts for the older lawnmowers, but if you get a lawnmower and it's not repairable and you want the parts out of it, you fit the parts out of it, take it to Cohen's and get rid of it.
Yes.
And you put the parts in the bin and you label them in your garage. Then you don't have any of that.
Yes.
So it's as a guy that has turned wrenches a few years in my life, it's doable. I'm asking you if it's doable for you.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's zero.
Well, I'm not saying what it is. I'm being supportive, but I think that's too much.
Right.
I'm a believer that in most cases there's compromises. I think in life that we can usually come to an agreement if we work on both sides have a little give and take.
When Carl started this, no one paid attention. Do two mowers a week, do three mowers a week. You know, no one's paying attention. The traffic isn't crazy. Machines are not running 8 hours a day until 11 o'clock at night. None of this was happening. Then all of a sudden, the business starts growing and growing and growing and growing. And this is what we have. That's why we're here today. It's because the business that he has built has outweighed his small area to do business
but,
in.
But you can control that if he chooses to, if he has to by the stipulations that if there was to be this was granted, but the stipulation for that he would have to continue to run it as a small business without a goal. Because if he did any of that, he would be brought up.
Now who do you call to enforce that? You know,
call the building department.
Does Jim want every time Carl goes past 9:30? 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Does Jim want me to call him 3 times a week because he did it 3 times a week?
I get those calls all the time.
I don't want to be aggravated with that.
I don't believe that if we gave him these stipulations because he hasn't had these stipulations, you're assuming that he will break them. I would be more of the type to believe that once he knows what the stipulations are and knows the consequences of operations, that he wouldn't do that. So I take a little bit different take on this.
But
That's that compromise that I'm talking to you about. That, you know, it's like, I like to think that in communities it's a give and take.
Right.
And we have to work to get to a common place. And I think it possibly could be done, but it's going to take us working on this a little bit.
I think so.
You know, I think.
And it sounds to me like we really are not going to resolve this tonight. No, because we do need a short environmental assessment form from them, and so they can make the application complete. It would seem to me that we've got to think about some of these things. And I guess, you know, condition-wise, I would think about, do we want to work in the garage? We do want that.
Yes, that's why Jim told me it has to be in the garage.
We don't want... We want to limit on how much storage is outside of the garage. And that includes both salvage mowers, you know, for parts or whatever. I think Kevin's point is well taken. That should be a temporary thing. Those mowers are there while you're ripping them apart. And then you go get rid of the body and whatever else you don't need. But that needs to be limited. And also, there needs to be some limited on how many lawnmowers are in the store, period. Whether they're in working condition because you fixed them or they're waiting to be fixed. Okay, so if you can think about that, what's acceptable to you, we can also think about it, and so can you.
And
as far as the fence goes, I think that's just a shield.
And it's
also doesn't.
So you're not sure that's the activity.
Well, the activity is the grass, but I mean, if he's got a lawnmower grass out, he doesn't have room, if he's not going to do the grass, he's got a place to put it.
Yeah, you're talking storage, and it needs to be fenced.
Are these still there like that?
No.
We supplied pictures that the not zoom. Well, no, I understand that, but I understand it didn't zoom in, but even though it's not there, there's a lot of lawnmowers there. I don't want to, I hope I'm not misleading when I say this, but I think it would behoove you, because we're holding this over for a month, maybe think about trying to make that better.
It might be beneficial to you and your neighbors. Well, that's the whole point of having. So I understand the fence, but I don't think that. I guess I have concerns that number one was on a residential track.
If we know the number, then you will make sure of that.
But I think it would be wise to start moving that number down now.
I mean, if we have a number, then we can enforce it. And you're talking a 40 by 40 fenced in area? That's huge. How many lawnmowers is that going to hold?
We haven't mentioned any shots.
Well, it's not the application, but we haven't discussed it yet.
Okay.
So that applies to change.
Okay.
I guess that would be my biggest concern. Again, I don't feel, again, when I look for a special use of an occupation inside the residence, to me, again, I look for things that don't interfere with the neighborhood. I don't see how a small engine repair cannot interfere. It clearly does. 40 by 40, 20 by 20. A stack of 10, a stack of 20, it's too much of a small engine repair shop. To me, that doesn't It doesn't meet the requirements on that alone. Now we've got an outbuilding that we're going to add a fence to, that we're going to continue to expand upon this business, we're going to continue to expand and grow. You mentioned we've got going full time, we've already grown the last 2 years. In your business plan, it says your intent is to grow. So to me, again, I just don't see how we can, there's no real way to enforce to run a small engine repair that's only three engines at a time. I don't see, to me, I don't think we've met the very threshold of a residential occupancy. I don't see how this qualifies in my life. So I know we need the environmental form. That'd be a big part of it too, because again, you have rags, you have cardboard. Where's the cardboard go? Where are the rags go? Again, you have a concrete floor. Is that deed say how many lawnmowers are permitted before you need to have actual, you need to have the trucks, you need to have certain yearly inspections, you need to have that sort of stuff. We're getting things that we can't regulate in an R3 residential zone. So to me, the whole thing doesn't really meet the initial, is this a home occupation? To me, in my book so far, I've not seen that. So as far as the driveway, the number of lawnmowers, to me, we're not there. We have to cross the first threshold.
If I can speak to that, as this board is aware, you've dealt with home occupations before. We've gone through litigation. You have to give a butt label. A few years ago. But as you know, your jurisdiction is appellate. In your jurisdiction to grant special use permit, the determination as to whether there already is a home occupation rests with the zoning administrator. So he's made his determination. That determination is appealable by anybody. But because he's made his determination that it's a home occupation, it's already before you. That's really not within your purview to say whether it is or it is not. It's a fine line. It's hard to grant sometimes because you want to make that decision, but that decision rests with Jim, and if anyone wants to appeal that, they can do that, and then it comes to you. But that's not what's before you tonight. So just to kind of let everybody know jurisdictionally, that's where you stand.
I disagree with Carl on that point. I think it is within your jurisdiction to decide if you're going to give a special use permit for this, but if Mr. Martin agrees,
that's not what I said at all. But I said it's not within their jurisdiction to determine whether it is a home occupation. That determination rests with the zoning administrator. That's what I said.
Yeah. And I disagree with that. That Chris Blake statement right there. But if there is a determination by Mr. Martin, I would be happy to appeal it.
Well, and just let me chime in here on that score. Matt's not heard my diatribe on appealing my determinations. I am more than open to people appealing my determinations. I welcome it. I've said that for 20 years. I think it is a fine use of process. It is much better when things like that are determined before a board of people in a public setting, residents of the community, rather than one person sitting here and making these determinations. I'm fine with that.
How would an individual on the board make an appeal to that decision?
Well, an individual on the board has the right to do it, and they would make an appeal to the board. Mm-hmm. And if you recall last year, we had a supervisor do that as well.
So I welcome the appeal, and I will vehemently defend my determination. You can expect that. But I welcome it nonetheless. These things are not arrived at lightly, but I respect the process, and I'd much rather see that aired before, you know, this board in a public setting than by one individual making these determinations and taking that on.
And would it be decided by majority?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, the way it would work is Claudia will file the appeal. I'm just throwing out that just because, you know,
I thought he was going to file the appeal for
me. It would be cleaner. But someone files the appeal within 60 days, usually, I think it is. File the appeal, comes to you, just like everything else, simple majority. Obviously, if it's your appeal to your board, you can't vote. Right. Also, a lot of times, you get different counsel because it makes a mess of things. But it is absolutely, anyone within the town is allowed to appeal.
Interesting. Is there anything else? That's okay.
Why do you like it to come?
I just want to point out, you know, when we talk about DEC and hazardous materials, PD products are very much a part of this. They do hazardous materials.
What?
Yeah.
So we have allowed businesses to do that. We have generally been pretty, most of the definition talks about professional kinds of activities, but we've also really looked well at mechanics and gunsmiths and people like that.
In the same token, beauty parlors have a system of handling the waste that dies, and it has this material all going up and down through the drain and up through pipes and things like that.
But it's not maintained. Dirt, it doesn't work.
Dirt floors.
That could be a
garages that we have in this town alone that are not sellable because there were gas stations and the wells have dripped into the ground.
Or we're all over there.
They're massive cleanups. Stewards did a massive cleanup to get to the thing on the river.
If the board likes it, can always contact Region 5 DEC and say, hey, I've got questions.
That's my thought.
Even to get best management practices, DEC may have guidelines under which things like this should operate. Even if it's not in regulatory form, it can be a series of management practices that are recommended.
So that's
the
applicant
to find
the session.
Yes.
That
should be something the applicant
should
say.
You
can contact DEC, get their information,
and get their
rules and regulations, and make sure I'm
okay with that. I would bring them with you to the next meeting.
And
then
show that you're in you will be in compliance.
And I did print off the DEC regulations. There is a print off of how to store the oil and the gas until you get it to where you have it recycled, and I did submit that.
But is that as an individual or as a business?
It's a small business.
Is it a business and a small business?
Yes, my business.
Could we have some clarification as to whether or not they are or are not permitted to do this while the board is making its determination?
The determination is made that it's a home occupation. So
but they don't
yet.
We
need a special use permit to do that. And in order to do that, we need more information. We need a secret.
You guys have to have the power to stop them.
Well, then follow the gym.
Well, and when on enforcement matters like this, when an application is in and actively reviewed, just putting the wheels, and maybe Carly can speak to this better than I can, but putting the wheels of enforcement through our ultimate enforcement action, which is to issue an appearance ticket and go to court, likelihood of an adjournment and those types of things, it can be done. From my standpoint, I don't see, speaking for me individually, I don't see the practical advantage of that right now. But
we can stop this now. No, I don't think we have the
authority. You don't have the
authority
to do that. Hopefully,
you
have the authority.
No, he would not
be the only one
who could do that, right? Well, even not technically speaking, not even myself. Matt's the designated code enforcement officer. He has to write the ticket. I can't.
But this board is not a sword.
No. You are appellate jurisdiction, and you are a special use permit. That's what you can do.
Yep.
And we can make conditions and approve whatever.
Right.
The other thing that I'd like you to think about is that driveway. And it's only because we as a board are improving something like this, are looking at the effect on traffic and the general conditions in the neighborhood. If you're preventing a neighbor from developing a property by that driveway, whether you want it or not, if you were to close it off, it might help. And that's just my opinion, and I don't know that your neighbor may not care whether you do or not, but I'm just saying it is an issue. I don't know.
I would just argue it wasn't his responsibility.
No. You're right. It's not your responsibility. But traffic is a consideration. Traffic patterns are a consideration that we look at. And I don't think it's unreasonable to look at that.
Like I said, the second entrance is nice because you don't have to back out on the road. That's going to cause a safety concern. If that driveway is closed off, we didn't buy the house with one driveway. We bought it as a horseshoe driveway. Nobody ever even said anything to us. It shouldn't be our responsibility.
And the amazing is he's gone through two title searches and two sales.
It's not fair. Somebody dropped the ball.
The seller is at fault, and the purchaser is at fault. Who's the one that's trying to deceive? Neither one of us.
So, do we have any further discussion?
So we're going to table this?
Well, the application is essentially not complete at this point because we need the environmental assessment on the short form please. And that you can get from the building department?
Yes. And if it would be helpful, I will put the determination in writing, and that starts the time. There's nothing been really official. It's been implied or verbal. I can put that in writing, and then you've got your time frame, Claudia, or whoever might want to appeal this. The clock can start.
We need a motion to table this, Carl, or do we just... Do we need a motion to table this, or do we just...
I will. So a motion to table it for further information, including the secret.
I'll make a motion to table this for further information, including the secret. And I'll appreciate those concerned what we talked about.
I'll second.
Mr. Full Board.
Mr. Manning?
Aye.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
Okay. I have the secret forms in my office if you want to stop by and pick up. It's just part one you have to fill out. I'll provide that.
No,
they're online too, that's true. They're online.
Like I told Jim, I got nothing to hide, so at any time the code enforcement ever wants to walk around my place, more than welcome to. More than welcome to.
Alright, we have another bit of business to take here, but I need to take a short break.
People sit at ease until you return, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you're all set.
Thank you.
No, you can see it. Come and see me in the office. I'm in tomorrow 1 to 4.
Would you like me to foil for a determination or will you just send me one?
I'll send it.
Okay. Thank you.
I would. The money is send the foil.
Okay.
Get it on the I'll supply it.
Yeah, thank you.
Expeditions.
I've had this happen in other towns where the person they made the determination.
You need a date to start the time clock. I get it.
Yeah.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Yep. But please do the foil just so the record is complete.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read
we talked about that written determination.
Yes, it does.
See, do you have anything else to do but sit and watch a Marone meeting? You're here every
Wednesday
night.
He goes
there every week. Coming back?
Well, somebody's
got
to have an unbiased
opinion.
Oh,
really?
I'd like to bring forth. If you read it slowly, I will rewrite it on this copy. And Gary, when you sent your email, did you forward that to the town board at the same time or no?
No.
Okay, I will make sure I do that and I'll copy you on it.
Okay. You want us to...
Not immediate. We're going to...
So what you're asking us is to read what my
conditions
are.
Yeah.
There's a clearer definition on what a small business at home occupation is in a residential area. clearer definition, more. That the Route 9.
Hold on. Occupation in a residential area. All right, hold on. Let me go on as fast as I can. Okay, go ahead. Number two.
That the Route 9 corridor be looked at for commercial use. I know it's mentioned in there, but I think it needs to have more emphasis. That the Route 197 corridor is commercial. It really is. The town hall's on it, private apartments on it, the two daycare centers. It's got more traffic from the intersection on Route 9 here. If you take, when you look at the state surveys, there's more traffic that comes across 197 than goes up north, up Route 9.
Oh, okay.
The break off is actually heavier traffic on 197.
Okay.
And let me see, what was the other one I wanted? With that that we have provisions for new infrastructure to go along with the sewer. What I'm talking about that is that the traffic patterns, is if we're going to put in a sewer system that's going to bring in more business and more traffic, we can't have the traffic we got now. How are we going to address that?
Okay, so provisions for new infrastructure to match potential new growth resulting from the sewer.
Potential
new growth.
I think that's very important.
Okay. You're typing all this down and I'm writing it. But okay. Okay. All right, got it. Any other takers?
You've already had my comments.
But this is a formal resolution now, so I want to make sure I get it.
The definitions.
Yep. Improved definitions. Improved.
In all areas. How many times have you dealt with ambiguities?
What? Improved definitions in all areas. Okay.
You try to eliminate as many gray areas as you possibly can.
And definitions are key. I agree.
Key to it.
Gary, you had.
Well, I just about got my consent. I mean, basically, what Kevin's talking about is I agree with the 197 and 9 is really the commercial and service center of our town. It's not the center of our town. The residential center lies on both sides of Route 9 north of there. And I think that needs to be somehow recognized in the comprehensive plan. And that when we and I don't know how, you can't really, you don't want to be nitpicking this completely, but when you look at that area, there needs to be planning in the residential areas for traffic flow and feeder streets and biking and walking and public transportation. I think there needs to be at least a recognition of comprehensive plan that we have needs in those areas. Maybe we can't do as much specific planning of that because it's down the road, or we need some more information from other. We don't know where to go with that yet, but we know where we're at and we know where our problems are. I think we can look at that. We can identify that. And I think that's enough. The comprehensive plan doesn't have to identify it specifically, but it can say we've got some issues here.
Exactly.
We need to address it.
Yep.
And so I think that's important because I do think we have a difference between. And the residential areas, I think we need to recognize that, yes, 60% of our town is agriculture, but probably, 10% of the population lives there, if that? That probably 80% of our population, or 70 to 80, live in those residential, those more densely packed residential areas.
That's correct.
That's probably going to. We want to encourage it. When you talk about info and all that, is good, but we want to plan as well. We want to plan not so much for the. I think the info will take care of itself to some degree. We encourage it, and hopefully it'll happen. But we need to serve those areas better.
Because it becomes a great big model.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. My street is going to be one of the first Peter streets. Peter Dam Road is
it's already a Jesus Street. It's a racetrack and it's any number of other things. But, you know, I mean, that's life. I understand that. We need to identify those as being certain. The other thing that I think I expressed before was that Saratoga County has not always been the best helper for us in terms of developing industrial development and whatever. We took their food factory and we lost work, but that's not it as far as that goes. You know, I understand why. I mean, it's beyond the very northern end, but we also, we're part of a population density area that incorporates Hudson Falls, Port Everett, Lenz Falls, Beach. I think we need to at least identify the people we need to work with.
That's your item two in your letter, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think I talked about the agricultural parts of it because, we want to be specific in our definitions. One of the concerns I had was the list of farming uses. I didn't see anything about fiber farms. I didn't see anything about, you know, there are a number of other kinds. I just don't want to see us limit what kind of agricultural stuff we can have in there. I think we need to limit it to some degree because there are some that are inappropriate. But we don't want to limit it to that.
You mean it's just not going to open up a worm farm or not going to be allowed?
Well, yeah.
Well, you get back to definitions. That's got to be the agricultural definition should capture those things.
Yes,
it should. Yeah. And the other thing, I just think, you know, I have some suggestions in terms of the executive summary. And I think, you know, when we're going to be asking our people to look at this and approve it, I think we need to make it as unjargony and as simple as we can. And when I read that executive summary, I'm thinking, those first few paragraphs are kind of dense and hard to get through. It's the goals that I care about. I just want to know, I don't care how we got here and why we're doing this, I want to know what it is we're going to plan to do. And I would just suggest we really focus on the goals and be as clear and as encompassing as we can in those
okay.
goals. And then I'd like to spell my name right.
That was completely on me. That's completely on me.
That was good.
All right, that we can at least do that. What I wrote is attach the minutes from tonight's meeting to this resolution. How would that be? And also attach your letter that was written today or on my email to the resolution as well. And I got John's and I got Kevin's, but in terms of Gary's, we would attach the minutes and the letter to this resolution. So what I have then is...
I fully support that you should spell his name right.
So we have that resolution.
This is conditional. These are a series of conditions. I've got clear definition of small business, home occupation in a residential area. Route 197 corridor is commercial. Provisions for new infrastructure to match potential new growth resulting from the new sewer. Improved definitions in all areas. Attach the minutes from the 627 minutes to this resolution for the town board to review. Attach the Gerard Endel letter to this resolution for the town board to review. So with those conditions, would somebody move them?
I'll make a motion for the resolution of the endorsement of the Gerard Endel comprehensive plan and recommending its adoption.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. And thank you for this diligent review. The next time you'll be hearing about stuff like this, well, I encourage you to continue to track the comprehensive plan, because from here it's got to go to the town board, for a seeker review, another public hearing, and ultimately a decision on the adoption. And then after that, we'll start the zoning ordinance.
Oh, I'd love to keep track of what's going on.
Yep, yep. So you will be as involved as you were before.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right.
All right. All right. All right.
Next month. What is the date of next month's hearing?
Next month's meeting, if we keep on the schedule, would be
25th.
July 25th.
You may not be here. Either coming back today or yesterday, the day before. 25th, I may be.